Does anyone in here like to eat? Or do you just do it? Or do you just do it to say, well, you know, I'm going to need some strength. So sometime today I probably better try to get some energy. And boy, it's hard to take time to do it, but I'll try to do it. And no one's going to need to do it. You know, it really isn't that way, I don't think. The Lord made us to be able to taste. And you think about it, it's quite interesting to think about all the different flavors and different things that we put in, and I'm very, very diverse on my eating. I mean, I haven't run into hardly anything that I won't eat. Now, I like some things better than others, but I've got a wide range of things that I eat. My mother, when I was a little one, she would make pickled corn every year. And most people, when they get even a whiff of pickled corn, like she made it, it was put into a stone jar, and it was just a salt brine and pickled in that. And people will smell that and will say, ooh, what is that? And when you tell them it's something they should eat, it's hard to take. But it's really sour, a sour taste. And the Lord made us to be able to do the sours and the sweets and all the things that, like that. And we use, my thought today is the spice of life. And I've heard that at different expressions before. I think it's the diversity is the spice of life. Difference is the spice of those kind of things. I want to talk about one of the spices of life today. We use spices in just about everything we eat. We have a little cabinet right beside our range, and you open that up and there's Lowry's seasoning salt up there. There's red crushed pepper, cayenne pepper. There's Tony Satchery's. There's garlic powders, onion powders, all these things that my wife uses in her cooking. And could you imagine what it would be like today to not use any of that? I wonder how successful a restaurant would be. Brother Ben's here. I'll ask Brother Ben maybe. He don't have to answer, but I wonder how successful a restaurant would be if you advertised and made it a point that we're not going to season anything. You can have some fries, but no salt and ketchup. Salads without dressings. And chicken without seasonings. Whatever you order, you want some beans, or you want no seasoning in it. I'd be willing to say that you would have a poor business. Because we like spices. It adds enjoyment to the event. Could you imagine spaghetti without oregano? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I don't know. I pick up flavors. I like flavors. I like taste. I don't like all of them, but I pick up the little things sometimes. There's a celery taste in Old Bay seasoning. Every once in a while, you get this little piece of a celery taste in there. I'm picking that up. I don't know if they did it yesterday. I remember eating yesterday, and I was eating something. And my mother used to season things with a bay leaf. And yesterday, as I was eating, I got a flavor that tasted like that bay leaf. And that's why, about the seasonings that's put in there that adds something that makes it desirous. It makes us want it. And without it, It's bland. Everything's bland without the seasoning. I really like popcorn. And because I travel and I eat And I've really been doing it this time too. I know we'll go home and do the same thing. We usually will buy this 94% fat-free popcorn that's really limited in its seasoning. And it's really limited in its taste and flavor. But that's what I usually eat. I get used to that. And recently my wife bought some popcorn and I really didn't pay much attention to it. I got it and put it in the microwave and I pulled it out and I started eating this buttery, flavored, seasoned popcorn. And there's four helpings. There's four portions to a bag. And I sat there and eat the whole bag of popcorn. It was just seasoned just right. And I said, that is the best popcorn I've ever eaten. You know, popcorn without salt, without flavoring, Brother Carl, you know, I guess you could eat it. I mean, you can get some flavor out of it. It's still popcorn. Now, I really want us to get this point because it enhances it so much. I don't think the nutritional value has helped any by the seasoning. Or very little. I don't think spices have a lot of stuff in it to help you with strength and energy and the things that you need to. But it sure helps choking it down, I'll tell you that. It sure helps wanting it and desiring it and wanting to be there in the line to get it. It sure adds something to it. Folks, it's the same way in living for the Lord. You know, I ain't come in here and listen to the songs and listen to the words. It's truth. It's truth. I can get that truth from that. I can get it when we're kicked back and the legs on and singing kind of just no matter, no excitement. I can get a little bit out of there. I'm going to tell you, I'm more likely to really come and feel that when it's all really spiced up, got something. I think the Lord wants to help us to realize it's one of the spices of life that the Lord wants us to have, wants His people to have, to realize that we have something dynamic. We got something that's real. We got something that's valuable today. And we ought to be excited about it. It's going to be hard to excite my children when I'm not excited. It's going to be hard to excite my neighbors, my friends, my community. It's going to be hard to excite them if they don't have some spices in it. It's going to say, you need to come and eat. You need to come and dine. Well, what do you got? Well, I got some baked potatoes, some boiled potatoes. We didn't put no salt in it or nothing. She's just going to have some potatoes there and some unleavened bread and some water to drink with it. Well, you can get strength. And if you're hungry and you're starving, you be thankful for it. But you know, it's hard to get excited about it. It's really hard to get excited about it. Lord, help you and I to get some spices about our life. To be able to say what we say with passion. With meaning. I mean what I say. And we are blessed, folks. The saints are a blessed people when it comes to singing. I don't think we really realize that as much as we should to really realize that do you know the Lord doesn't require all this harmony and all that stuff. He requires that we do it, as we've heard this meeting, from our hearts. But can I tell you something? That's pretty bland. It isn't the God. But we also are encouraging one another. We're inspiring and uplifting and edifying one another. And, you know, it can be pretty bland. I have noticed and have been thankful for it at home when we get visitors into our congregation. Our congregation rises to the moment. I know I'm sitting there thinking, I wish we could have visitors all the time. Because the congregation feels the need of the spice. They feel the need of the enthusiasm and else, because it's an encouragement to have people come and visit us. And so when the congregation gets in there, it seems like they sing a little louder and got a little more pep and the prayers are better and they set their foot forward in it. And it's spicier and it's a good day to be in service. And Lord help us. Me too. But this is ours, folks. It's ours. The Lord has given this to us. How do you want it to be? Now I wonder today we've had good food. We've had good food. Good taste. It's been good. But I wonder if today is no spice day in the kitchen. I wonder how many of us would go out to eat. I wonder how many would go find, well, I ain't real hungry today. We need the spices. And Lord, help us to have passion in our life. Passion. It's the spice of life, folks. It encourages people. It uplifts people. We heard a story yesterday. Brother Clance preached to us. Told us a story of a man. I won't tell the whole story for those who are here, but I'll pick up a little bit for those that wasn't. It was a story of a man that his friend had been killed in World War II in Guadalcanal, I believe it was. He was in the Coast Guard, and he gave his life in an heroic event. He shielded the men from fire, and he died. And he was brought back to Washington State, I think. Little community. And he had a friend that he grew up with there, and he was buried there. And Brother Clay was telling us about this man walked 3 miles a day, one way, four times a day, every day. Well, he went 3 miles. It was 12 miles. He made the trip back and forth. It was one way, so it was 6 miles a trip. And he done it twice a day to raise a flag up and lower the flag. And morning's up and evening's down. And he did this every day for over 40 years. Do you know why that touches me? It's spice. It's spice. It's devotion. It isn't bland. It's a little unusual. It's spicy. It's something that touches my heart. It's passion. That's what I'm looking for. It's passion. The guy had a passion of something that meant something to him. And so he done it, and he done it, and he done it, and he had passion. And those stories, why do they write the story of that man? Well, how did Brother Clement know about it? How did he? Somebody wrote the story because it's worth writing. It's worth hearing. It's worth remembering. It's worth living after. That's why. What we're trying to tell the world, we got something for you. And if we don't have it spicy, I ain't saying make it up. I'm saying passion is the spice of life. This is something that I want. Jesus was spicy. The story resonates in my soul. The passion that he had to come to this earth, live among humans, be ridiculed, run down, spit upon, a thorn of crowns on his head, those kind of things. He went through all of that. He went through the whole process. When it come down and he's on the cross, he could have prayed to the angels and they'd have took him down. But passion held him there. Love held him there. The story's worth being told. And we don't live that and tell that just in a bland way. It's not a bland event. And then I bring it down to what it was to me. Folks, I was a young man, lost. I could feel the lost in me. I was a young man that would look sometimes and say, why am I so miserable when I have the world ahead of me? I'm young. I'm strong. I got all this stuff. Why am I so miserable? And then I found Jesus. Or I should say, he found me. And the Lord changed my whole direction of life, my want, my desire, my purpose. Somebody asked me recently, said something to the effect, said that most everybody sometime in their life backslides and then comes back, those kind of things. And he looked at me and said, didn't you? And I said, no, thank God, I haven't. I'm saying there's always that experience and come back and the Lord wants you back. But I thank God from the time I got saved. I haven't been perfect. I've had my ups and downs and I've had things I have to face and go through, but never in my whole experience of serving the Lord have I ever said I want to go back to where I was at. And it's because it has been the most rich thing to me. I don't want to go back to the way I was before. I want to see what more the Lord has. And when I tell that, or I live that, or people see me with it, I want them to see that passion that I have to go on for the Lord. I want my life to have some spice in it. I want people to look at it and say, if I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat that. My dear grandmother, she was a little old woman. I knew her always as an old woman. She was my grandmother. So she was this little old woman. She was feeble. She was arthritic. Her fingers was kind of crooked, you know, all of that. But my grandmother had a passion for God.
Amen.
And she would show that passion. Her family could say a lot of things about her, but they couldn't say she didn't mean it. They could say, I don't understand why you've got the standards you do, or why you go where you do, or why you put so much energy into it, or why you have to think you have to always tell us about it. But one thing's for sure, they always said, she means it. Because it was something that was real to her, that she just wanted to tell out, and she had passion and desire for it. You know, my family, and my mother's still not saved, but my mother influenced my life by saying, through the years, if I ever was going to be saved and live for God, I'd do it like she does. Now, this was not her mother. It was my dad's mother. And she would always testify and say, if I was to do it, I'd do it like she does it. Because she means it. She lives that way. Lord, help us to offer the world. I got a burden for this because, to be honest with you, I think there's been a loss in my years of living for the Lord, of the church in general. There is a loss of passion. There's a loss of desire. There's a loss of just being faithful in the small things. There's a loss. There's a faithfulness, but a lot of times it seems like that it doesn't have the life to it. It doesn't have the bounce to it. It doesn't have the flavor that it once had. The people don't really give to like they seem like they used to. And it's a burden in my heart that we regain the spice of life. That we regain the passion here. I think it's natural that it's happening in our day and time with all that's going on in the world and all the new advancements and all the things that you involve in the time and all that. I think the devil can have a design to sap the spices of the saints in their lives. And before we start into some scriptures, I want to say this, that without passion, few things work in life like it's supposed to. There is a gigantic sports world out there. And the greatest coaches are hired to coach people that have studied films and studied ways and know that and made an art form about how to coach young men, how to master their bodies, how to make it lift the maximum weights to get the greatest strength, to be able to get peak speeds out of people, to be able to do the best things, to be able to focus their minds. They have training programs from the time young men are little to get them to be able to accomplish this. And if they don't have passion, they're losers. They can do all these other things. But a coach knows that before the game, his number one thing he's got to do is motivate those men to want to win 100%. And if the coaches can't get the teams motivated, no matter how good the skill level is, no matter how good the individual players are, no matter how good their coaches coach, if they can't bring that passion to the peak level, they know they're in danger of losing. They're not sharp. They're not focused. They don't care. It's haphazard and indifferent. But when they can focus their mind in on the team spirit, let's go, let's win, have passion and desire, they sacrifice their bodies, their minds. They do everything for the cause. They become winners. Sports teams don't win without passion. They're losers. In World War II, a little bit of history, when the Allies attack North Africa, they run into Italian forces, Axis forces. It was joined up with Germany, but there was Italian forces.
The Italians didn't want to fight. They had no passion. Great army. They had millions of men. They had equipment. But they didn't have passion. They got run over by a few men. They got captured easily. They surrendered easily. No hardship at all, hardly conduct, because they didn't want to fight a war. They had nothing in it. There was a bunch of men without passion or desire. They wasn't trained like the Germans was raised up with national pride. They was raised up to have a purpose and a cause of conquering. They had a purpose and cause to have allegiance to Hitler. And they were very devoted and passion run high. But it wasn't true with the Italians. And hence what happened with the Italians. Fire a couple shots at them and they run the white flag up. We give up. We give up. When the Allies got through with North Africa and went into Sicily and then into Italy, do you know that Germans hurried and rushed German forces down there because the Italians was giving up wholesale. They were just giving up because they didn't have any passion. Folks, listen, it does not work in sports and it doesn't work in war. It doesn't work in marriage. Without passion in a marriage, that with that kind of spice and care in marriage, it won't work. And do you know it won't work with us in a spiritual sense either? It ain't going to work if we don't have passion for it. If we don't have desire for it. We're going to dwindle and dry up. And we're going to keep on, and there'll be a few hard heads that, okay, we're still going to have a camp meeting here in La Ronja over Thanksgiving. And there'll be one or two old preachers that want to come and do it, and there'll be a few stragglers along the line, and there'll be a few people sat back there, and it'll dry up and go away. Because it ain't nothing neat. And when they come, there's no excitement, there's no life, there's nothing there, and the ones that come for years is kind of changing, don't mean so much. And you know what will happen after a while? It'll be a shell. Just be a shell. Don't really mean anything. But when we hear the passion of things, we're touched, aren't we? Sure we are. When we see somebody go through extreme things and still got their hand raised up and saying, I love Jesus. Motivates us and says, I can do it too. Spicy. Got some spice in it. I'm thinking about the time we went down, and I like to tell this story, and I'll probably tell it as long as I live. I don't have all the information of it, but I remember we went to Florida one year, and the first time we was down there after Linda and I was married. We was down there, and it was the time that the Baxter children fell into the canal. One of them died. Both of them would have died if it hadn't been a neighbor. One of them fell in, couldn't swim. The other girl jumped in that couldn't swim to save her sister. Both of them did a canal. I think it was about 30 feet deep, the way I remember. They put some big canals to carry the water through there. And a neighbor man heard the fuss and come run over and dove in there and saved one of those little girls, got him out, then dove back in, and in an attempt to save the second one, he gave his life. He drowned in that canal down there. The little girl did, and the neighbor man did, to try to save him. And he's a hero in my eyes, and will always be a hero in my eyes. He sacrificed his life for a little girl, and sacrificed it for, and died giving it, tried to give it to the other one. And when I heard that, I said, that man's probably got children. And when they told him the story of him, he said he had five children. And I said, five children went without their dad. But that man gave himself. I'm going to tell you, that's spice to me. That goes beyond the normal. I want to hear people that has a purpose in life and need, and will go beyond to give themselves to something. And then we're saying that we got the greatest thing ever, and we give our life for it. We give everything for it. It's the greatest thing ever was to be saved and live for the Lord. And it don't mean anything. Lord, help us.
Amen.
That it is meaningful. Over in the 42nd Psalm, first verse says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It's talking of a hart is a deer. And there's a couple purposes, I think, that this is trying to bring out. One of the purposes is that in a hot, barren, dry land,
The way this animal is so dependent upon its going to the water brooks. It is always mindful of the water brooks. As the water gets less and less in the dry lands, there's places for these animals to drink, and they've made trails to them because of their continual going to it. It's got to go. It's got to go. Do you feel the urgency that I've got to? I've got to. It adds spice to see that. It's worth. It's something that you can eat. It's valuable. It's not bland. There's something valuable here. And also the other idea is that after they're hunted, these things are hunted, they're pursued by predators. The dogs are after them. They're on their trail. They're wanting to get them. And there's a place of safety at the water brooks. I remember several years ago, a buddy of mine lived down from us. He told the story. He said he heard some dogs a-barking. Several dogs was a-barking out by the river. And he thought, what's those dogs doing? So he went out there to the dogs, and then there was we call it a swimming hole. There was a swimming hole there, and there was an 8-point buck standing out in the middle of that water, like this. He was standing there, panting. He was right in the middle of the water, and the dogs was on the edge of the water, barking at him, and couldn't get to him on account of the deepness of the water. And there the deer was, resting himself, holding himself, because he could find security there for a little bit. Well, the guy was touched by that, so he ducked rocks and he run the dogs off, and the deer wouldn't come out. And he actually went out and got him by the rack and got him and brought him through the water. Got him out on land, his feet hit, and he ran out into the field. And he said for a long time he watched him over there, and he just went out into the field and he was eating and a little bit here and there, and said a little bit he went away, and he heard the dogs barking over at the river. And he went back over the river, and the deer's out in the middle of the hole again, and the dogs are around there barking at him, and he's out in the middle of him, so he runs the dogs off again. But the deer was finding a place. A place that I can be safe and secure. You know, we have a place in God. But this scripture is saying the passion that they feel for it. This is my whole life. Folks, do you know that eternal life is only in Christ? Right. Do you know that we're made to live forever somewhere? Do you know I'm going to be in existence for eternity? I'm going to be in existence somewhere. I've got a soul that I've got to deal with. This life is fleeting. Boy, it's running right out from under me. This is fleeting. And I can feel the sense so many times of how much I need. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to help me. I'm being chased by the dogs. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel like you're being run down by the enemy? The things in your life is just chasing you, running you down to the point that you just get to the place that says, Lord, I've got to have help from you. This guy runs the dogs off again. And he gets this buck out, and he goes out in the field. And a little bit, he sees him. He goes down, and he goes up against the mountainside. And he said just a little, he went up there, and just now he heard an explosion. Pow! Oh, no! His neighbor didn't know nothing about him. He was up there hunting. He was out of season. The guy wasn't even legal. The deer walks up there. He's like, oh, no, after rescuing him. But the idea is that the scripture says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. A thirsty. A thirst for our souls. A thirst for something that we need something. Folks, I need something more than just a bland experience. Not willing to just settle for a haphazard, indifferent way of doing it. I think God's more than that. I think God wants us to have, in this day of a day that it seems like the passions are robbed, and a day that the people have passions for all kinds of different things. People give themselves wholeheartedly to so many things. Lord, help us to have passion for God and the things of God. That those that are looking on can see the passion and see the taste and the flavor. And it's safe. I want some of that too. when they taste, Lord help us when they come into our assemblies to taste. There's a flavor that goes with it. There's a taste. There's an idea that they take with them. They get a bite of something. Me and Brother Tony one time went down to, well, I'll tell you when it was. We went to Brother Herschel Hargrave's funeral down in Gulfport. And on our way back, Brother Tony had said, have you ever eaten any of these barbecue or these grill deals they do out by the road? They have these smokers out there. They're doing all these deals. No, never did. He said, well, I will get you. We stopped at one of these things and we had, I don't know, I think he had some alligator or something. But I just had some ribs and some facial sauce this guy made. I'm going to tell you, I had that and for months I would crave that. I think, man, I'd like to have that food. If I ever got a chance to go down there, I'd see if I could find that guy. Because I had these cravings for it. You know, we want the people to come around us to get enough of a taste of something. The taste good. These people mean what they're doing. They got a flavor about them. It's rich. The anointing's rich. The blessing's rich. It's spiced up for the consumption. Lord, help us. Is the heart pan after the water works? Lord, help us to pan after my soul and after thee. Alright, well, I'll look at another scripture. It's over in 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. It's a very familiar scripture. Probably know the story. Saul and the armies of Israel are set against the Philistines. Jesse's oldest sons are soldiers in the army. So Jesse tells David, take some corn and some bread, and go up and meet the captain and see how your brothers fare. So David goes up innocently, just doing what his dad told him to do, goes up there and the battle's pitched. And when he goes up there, as a youthful mind, he has the idea of, you have to give me this liberty, but I've always seen it this way. I think David had a fascination with God. I think he had a relationship with God. I think he depended on God. I think it was almost impossible that he didn't, because he wrote songs about these kind of things. I think David knew the history of his people. I think he knew of the victory of Moses crossing the Red Sea. I think he knew of the victory of Gideon, of Joshua. I think he knew the history of his people. And he's going up there with a simple faith and a belief that the God that was is the God that is. And that God that made promises to our fathers, He's still God. The ones that had passion and desire for God and had come through in the battles and God had blessed them. The walls of Jericho comes down. Gideon wins his battle with the trumpets and the lights and all. Right? So, you know the whole story. The sword of the Lord of Gideon. I think this was all fresh in David's mind as a young man going up there to the battle. I think the conquering of the lion and the bear is fresh stuff to God, to David. He goes up there with the anticipation that he's going to see mighty things out of God and God's people. And I think he was pretty disappointed. Because I think the people were bland. I think the soldiers was bland. I think the king was bland. I think everybody was pretty well tasteless that day. There was nothing exciting. There was nothing real. There was nothing that you could say, I want to be a part of this. You ever feel that way? I have many times. I've been to service before and say, come on. Let's liven up. Let's liven up. We go through those phases. I'm not being critical. We do go through that. You get stuff on your mind. You go through heartaches. You're going through things in your life, physical problems. It's not always just shouting and jumping. We go through those times. But things and know that you're God. So he goes up there, and this is where the story comes in. He says that, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake. Now I'll back up a little bit. And it's 26th verse. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? For Goliath had come out and made his challenge, and taken away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, can I tell you something here? I'm not for troublemakers. I'm not for people that go around stirring up stuff. I don't like trouble. But here's one case that a little stirring was necessary.
Yeah.
Now, you have to say this added a little spice to the day. These guys are all standing out there, blowing off, and here comes this little old fella. I know it makes a mess. I can see this scene real plain. This little old fella come up there. He ain't never been in battle. He don't know nothing about war. He ain't never been in the ranks. He ain't never had to obey. He ain't never done nothing. And he's giving some advice, and he's telling the way it is. And I'm going to tell you, it added a spark of interest there in the camp. You know it did. People start gathering around and saying these things. Sure, it would do it. Folks, there's life. There's life. That's a good testimony. What's going to happen to this? This is just uncircumcised. What, this guy over here? He's nothing. Now, don't. What are you? What are you talking about? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou hast come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? What have I done? Have I told you the truth? So I'll stir you up a little bit. That's all I want to do today in the Spirit of the Lord. I want to stir you up a little bit. To get some life, get some spice, get some passion about what you're doing. Make it meaningful. If we're going to do it, the Lord said to me one time, we were going to service, and the Lord spoke so plainly to me and said, if you're going to go to service and devote yourself like that, why don't you do it right? And I was thinking, I know what the Lord was saying. I'm just going along. I'm just going. I'm going. It's what I said I'd do. I'm going because people have sent me to do it. I'm going for that reason. And the Lord said, if you're going to give that much time to it, why don't you do it right? And I thought, that's right. Why don't I do it right? If I'm going to go to service for 2.5-3 hours, why don't I go ahead and get something from it? Why don't I devote my heart, my mind, and my desire? Why don't I put everything into it? If I'm going to do it, why waste those times? And the Lord brought back to my mind when I was in school. And don't anybody follow my pattern of going to school. Because when I went to school, my desire was to get out of school. But really, when you're in school, it'd be a good idea while you're in school to think about the possibility that you could learn something while you're there. But before I went 12 years, I had to go. I was there. My time was there. And I spent as little time I could possibly get learning anything. And when it's all over, I'm looking back saying, I could have done this. I could have done this. They had a great welding program there, and I needed that skill for it. I didn't have it. I needed to do this business. And the school offered all this stuff, and I took home ec 2 years. Because it was a funny thing. So we joked around. Some of the guys went and took home economics because it was an easy course. And we made some cookies. We done some stuff. We goofed off. We got a credit. And I graduated. But I don't know anything that I should know. Folks, this is precious. This is precious time. My senior year, I go in and there was no class left for me hardly. And if I had to be there, I had to have a class. So I go in and I told her, I want to take phys ed again. I wanted to go to phys, and they said, you can't do that as a senior. And a lot of you have already had the courses. And they wouldn't let me go into phys ed, so they said, here's the only thing left for you to do. You need to type. neither one to kite. And I'm saying this because if I'd have had a passion to want to learn, if I'd have had a reason to want to, a desire, a purpose to it, that skill would have benefited me over and over and over in life. And I looked at it in my time in life, and the last thing I was going to be in the world was somebody that said it was a typewriter. Little did I know what our culture was going to do. And it wasn't long after I got out of school. You know what I did in there? You know what I learned? The only thing I ever accomplished was F, G, F, G, F, G, F, G, F, G. I never got above that hardly. My scores was like 20 words a minute with 60 errors. I was I goofed up. I didn't want to learn to type. I thought it was unnecessary. It was the only class in high school that I ever failed. I did not get a credit for it. I didn't need it, so I graduated without it. And I thought that was a fine thing to do. And then I got out of school, and I went into surveying, and I was sitting before computers going, saying, if I only had passion enough and seen that time as valuable, I could have gained so much there that would be a benefit today. Today, if I could do it, I could use it today. And I wasted all that. And folks, I want to encourage us today that we need some spice in our life, because if without spice, you're going to lose the moments of your life. You're going to lose the moments of increasing in your life for God. You're not going to be able to get what God has for you, because you don't have the passion to stay in there and really get what God has. There's no desire for it. I want out of here as much as I can. I want through with this. But when you have a passion, I'm going to tell you, passion moves the world. You get a bunch of people that's passionate about something, whether it's right or wrong, you can get a move going when they're passionate and want to give themselves to it. And he says, what now? What have I done now? What have I now done? Laid the charge for my death. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? The armies of the living God is standing here shivering and shaking and quaking because of an enemy that they're well able to defeat. And there's not enough passion for anybody to go down there and get it. You know the only thing they lack was passion? If they had been passionate for God, they had said, I'll die before I see the things of God trampled like this. And God would have blessed that passion. So David says, is there not a cause? And he looks to the other one. He looks one side and says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause here worth fighting for? Is there not a cause worth facing this for? If nobody else will do it, I'll do it. Well, I'll tell you, David went with passion.
Yes,
he went with passion. It meant something to him. And when he went down there, that's the way he went. He went with a sling in his hand and fire in his eyes and faith in his God and passion for what God would do. And he went down there and he conquered. Now, this is written for us to show us passion. We need passion to face our battles with too. We need passion to reach out to the world with. We need passion to show the world what it is. We need some spice on some of this stuff. Lord, help us. Over in 2 Samuel 23. Fourteenth verse of the 23rd chapter of 2 Samuel. And David did in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Just a longing. A desire. Probably had, I imagine, they pulled water out of that well on other occasions. Come over that old desert, been out there for days, had some old goatskin tied up for water bottles, slosh that old water around in 110 degree heat for a couple of days, and go to get a drink of it and say, I'll die if I don't drink this, but it's the only thing that makes me do it. Just go take a big drink of it. You mind, nasty? But down there in Bethlehem, down in the bottom of that well, it's cold. clear. You want to offer somebody something to drink? Hey, you're thirsty? Got this half bottle of water that sits here out here in the car for 2 days. It's probably 90 degrees. You want a drink? Not really. No. Not really. Don't seem very appetizing to me. Hey, y'all want to come to our services? Got some old stuff we've been bouncing around for a couple of years, sloshing around. We're still talking about what Brother Sanders done. He was a good man. We'll talk about him a little bit. We'll bounce stuff around. And we might even sing a song or two. Maybe off key. I don't know. We'll sing it and it'll slow down so you can't always bounce. And that's the way we're going. You want to? Not really. Not really. I think I'll go find something else. Entertain myself with. We're challenging the world of entertainments out there with rice water. Ain't gonna work. It'll work. Well, Carl, I like my cup filled with ice before I put the water in. I mean to the brim. Fill that ice. Fill it all the way with ice. And then put the water in it. Now, my dad, he don't like ice at all. But he likes it cool. Cool water is what he likes. I like mine ice cold. David wanted something more than he had for drinking. And he knew where it was at. And he had a longing for it. But that's all it was, a longing. He didn't order nobody to do it. They had a longing for something that he had had before. Listen to the story. And three of the mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. You know he didn't command these men? They heard him long. This is my king. That's all you got to do. Your wish, Lord, is my command. It's a passionate message. I wait around for a way of pleasing you. And I just heard you say you wanted water. I wonder if they all three heard it in my mind. Maybe all three heard it at the same time. They just looked at one another. I need you. I got my opportunity. Jesus done so much for me, and now here's just a little bit for me to pay back. But these men saw their king. This is king. They devoted themselves to King David. Loved him. Let's go get the water. And it says that they break through. That means there was something to break through. It wasn't clear sailing. I'm assuming that it was Philistines that they broke through and broke up. And they went in and at the perils of their own life for nothing more than a drink of water. They wanted to show David they loved him and that they were his men. You long for it? You don't have to. We want you to know that when you say to go, you don't have to tell us what. We do this because we do it from a passion. And a love in our hearts. Right. Lord, we do it because we love you. You know we can go through all the other things without love and passion for God? It's meaningless. Yes. It doesn't work. It doesn't get you anything. Right. So we're doing this, Lord. Oh, I guess I'll wear them old clothes that Saint Saints right. I guess I'll wear some I guess I'll do things the way they do. I guess I'll just follow along with that. See, there's a way, folks, that makes it rich. Amen. My Lord done so much for me that the inkling of it makes me want to do it. I want to do it. I love holiness. I love doing it right. Because Jesus done so much for me, if I can all say to Him with my life, Your wish is my command, O Lord. So they break through the garrison and get this water, fresh drawn from the well. I love this story because it's filled with passion. And they bring it back to David. It's cold and it's fresh. Oh, what would that felt like going down your throat? I've been out working on surveying before when there wasn't any water around and we long run out of water and we're out there at the mountain dry. We're out there surveying it all up next to the end of the day. The only thing you can think about all time, is a drink of water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I have something to... I get the longing for it, thirsting for it. But yet, David, passion drove him. And the three men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. And nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord, and said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. You know what David did? He saw it for what it was. These men didn't die, but they did in a sense. They could have. They offered him just for a drink. They offered their lives to him. And when he saw that, he felt the littleness of himself. The smallness of himself. David could say, can I save a man's soul? Am I worthy of a man with such devotion to give such a small pleasure to his king to give his life for? I'm not worthy of that. I'm going to pour the water out to one that's worthy to it. And in a sense, he does the same thing to the Lord. In his passion for righteousness and righteousness in his life. And to show the Lord what it means to me. Lord, you're worthy to die for it. I give you this drink of these men's blood. Passion drove them to do what they do. Passion drove Jesus to the cross. Passion drove the apostles to give their lives to the Lord. Passion drove the martyrs of the old ages to die on crosses and be ripped apart and to be burned. Passion drove these men. It gave a flair to life. It gave a spice to life. It is the spice of life. And the spice of living for the Lord is to have passion to do it. And in our day, folks, we're not talking about giving our life necessarily, not in a physical sense of martyrdom. We're just talking about caring enough to do it out of your heart.
Yes, amen.
Preachers can come and keep hammering. Y'all need to watch out for the world. You need to dress this way. You need to do this stuff. But you know, passion will get ahead of that and demand it way before the preacher will. Passion will get in there and it'll cause you to want to do all those things before it's ever. All I want to do is mention it. And then, yes, Lord, help me to be able to do that. Help me to represent the gospel as something worthwhile. Is it worthwhile today? Lord, help our passion today. Without passion, sports don't work, war don't work, marriage don't work, businesses don't work. You know, businesses found the people that found businesses. They got their heart in it.
That's true.
They got their heart in it. I worked for a guy, and I worked right as he was starting a surveying business. And this guy had almost no money. He got a few clients, and he signed the work, and he got him a place. He bought him a place. He didn't buy him a house. He bought him an office. He didn't have a house. He had an office. The only thing he had was an office and a truck and a transit. That's what he had. He started the business. And on that, by the house, there was a little cellar, and above the cellar, there was this little room. And that little room had cracks through it you could see outside. And he stayed the winter in that day because of passion. Because he had a desire for something that he wanted to do, and he had a passion for creating a business. And he gave himself to it that he was so uncomfortable. He'd come back out of the mines in the middle of the night and go pile into that thing in the wintertime. Come get by fire. But he had and what drove him to do those things was a passion. He owns Grant's businesses now. Last time I talked to him, he had 37 employees. He's got a fleet of trucks, a whole bunch of trucks. He's got the whole thing. But you know, he's got a fine house and fine property. And last time I heard of him, he had bought a big orchard and had apples and all that. And this guy is accomplished, and he went because he had passion.
That's right.
If you hadn't had passion, he'd have never accomplished any of that stuff. He'd have failed by the way because it wouldn't have worked. But in all these things, passion. Passion. A couple years ago, I was in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Turned the radio on one morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. Turned the radio on. There was a little blip of news on there. And the media could say, the one man says to the other on scene the reporter, "What's it look like down at the stadium?" And the guy reports back and says, "It's a sea of whatever the color was, red, whatever." And it's a sea of color. And I immediately think, "Oh, we don't have a football game. This was at normal. So I don't know if this is a sea of this. There's hundreds of people gathering around here," and he gives a report over there, and I'm thinking, "Well, they're going to have a football game here in a little bit." Then the reporter said, "Well, we'll be back with you at the time it's up." Then he said, "The kickoff at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. The light bulb was 10 o'clock in the morning. And there was going to be a football game. I thought it was going to be at noon. And I was going to say, man, them guys are ambitious to get out there a couple hours early like that." And then he said the kickoff was at 6 o'clock. They're getting down there early. They're getting ready. They're hollering. Go, 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 team. Passion.
That's right.
Do you know winning teams have a winning fan base? They got an advantage, a home field advantage. They make the noise. They shout. They encourage. Passion.
Yes.
Folks, we don't even come close.
That's true.
Wouldn't it be something to pull in about a half hour early to the chapel on Sunday morning and everybody's there waiting for the door to be open? We want to go to church. We want to see what the Lord looks like this morning. It's not passion. We want to see what it's going to do. Well, but we just want to have service tonight at 6. Well, we'll just wait. We've got a lunch with us. We're going to sing songs and get inspired about it till we get there. Now I know that ain't going to happen. But I want to try to tell us what passion will do if we really mean this. Passion. Passion. The spice of life. You know, I believe this. I believe when our children are raised with spice, they will continue. I've always eaten that. That's good. That's good. But how often they're just fed the blank. Over and over. Let's get the virus. Lord, help us today. I think of one other scripture. I won't turn to it, but I thought of a woman that the scripture said, the scripture says of a man that there was an unjust judge.
Oh, yeah.
And he feared not man or God. And there was a woman, a widow woman, that came and importuned before this man day and night, crying, "Avenge me of my enemy." Passion. Passion drove her. Something that she desired above everything. She importuned. And the scripture gives that to us as a lesson on how to come before God, how to see God. Importuned. And because this man was neither fear of God or man, you wouldn't think he could be moved. Why would this widow want? But she troubleth me.
Yeah.
And the lesson is if you by continuing in importuning can move the unjust judge, how much more can you move the Heavenly Father that loves you and cares for you above all things? But the Lord wants us to have passion.
Yeah.
And need it from our hearts.
Yeah.
I pray that the Lord would help us. Sometimes in my mind, I go through these little daydreams about what it could be versus what it is. Lord, give us a vision. A passion. Give us a vision of the way you would have it to be in our life. The way you would have our church services. the way you would have me conduct myself in that service. Folks, don't sell yourself short. Your testimony might be the catalyst.
That's right.
It might be the spark.
Amen.
Your prayer might be the one. Passion. I was in a hospital one time. Brother Stanley Dixon would come. I never forget this, because some of the saints come to that hospital room and they started singing. And the people in the hall started moving our way. The people in the other room started moving our way. The saints were singing. And the Lord was blessing. And it was a passionate, it had spice. Oh, it sounded so good. And something was said about Brother Stanley Dixon, which most of us probably knew Brother Stanley, that he couldn't sing. Well, maybe so, but I'm going to tell you something. He could pray. Oh, I can tell you. Brother Stanley's sort of singing might not be good, but I'm going to tell you about that place. That place was packed, and people were sticking their head in, and they was crowding in here to singing, and all of a sudden, on an inspiration, Brother Stanley stopped out there between songs in the middle of the floor and started praying with passion. And everybody was touched. I know they went away saying, there was something there that had a flavor that's going to stick with people a long, long time. But I'm going to give you the opposite of that, and then I'm through. I was also in a situation one time to where some folks come to sing. It was very talented. There's no doubt about it. They had much talent to sing. And it was going to sing, but there was a place. And so somebody said, well, maybe we could sing in the waiting room. And the waiting room was a lot of people in there. Well, you don't want to be discourteous. You don't want to use God's things like that. So they said, well, I don't know if this is a good idea. There's a lot of people here. You know this. And so I said, there's one way to find out. Let me ask them. So I'm just saying, I'm going to your attention a minute. Would anybody be offended here if we sung some hymns? We need a place to sing some hymns. We don't want to sing some hymns. And they all said, oh no, please. Please sing. Please sing. And started singing. And the song started going forth. People started crying. People started being touched. All the way. Passion was working. And all about our two or three songs, one of the major ones of them said, man, I saw God moving. Man, I was sorry. God was moving, doing something. What an opportunity. What a rare place. What a rare place in time for that to happen.
That's right.
And one of the main ones says, man, it's hot in here. We're going to lose this. And I was like, did you not see it? Did you not feel it? Do you know how passion is? It's hot! Monarch, it's hot! Yeah, it's hot! So what? It's hot, it's cold. It's a passion. I was so disappointed because it broke. We still was able to go and talk and have some prayer with some people, but I saw it fade on out. It's such a golden opportunity. Lord, help us to be passionate.
Yeah.
The world's there, folks, so we won by passion. You're not going to win them by not showing that it really don't mean nothing to you.
Right.
It's passion to me. Lord, help us to be passionate. You pray for me.